I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
How nice to hear from you. How's London?
Great.
I'm looking home.
Very much. Okay. But I'm coming back soon, so. Thank you.
We hear you on air now. Not publicly, but just in the confines of the committee room.
Yes.
What all political parties listening to you?
The technology environment and competition environment. And these two studies, I think, quite quickly, or these two committees play a very important role, like the other committee too, of course, but specifically in terms of the challenges we face now in 2010, the technical obligations we have, and the flux with which the SABC is in its own technical department, which I think you're familiar with. So from a continuity point of view, I would like to be able to contribute to that continuity. It would be fantastic if we could get in a couple of business engineers as well. But from a continuity point of view, I would like to see those processes through. On the Digitech side, it's really more about a broader than the technology aspect, about the strategic positioning of the SABC so that we respond less ad hocly to opportunities that arise in the sector or opportunities that are made possible by the regulator, which are all, of course, highly risky and expensive and require us to respond to them in a way that is part of an assessment of how it adds value to the public broadcaster and how it contributes to the principles of public broadcasting and of democracy in the nation.
That's fine. You sound very
lovely. So I've got a bit of a cold, and I can't hear very well because the phone is right next to a big highway, and I hope you can hear me.
We can hear you clearly. If you are never, don't worry. We've seen worse people. No, we don't see how you flash the way you are. So you could see right in front of you. So you win advantage. Let's take a question from you. What? You ready?
Hello, sorry. Hello, sir.
Yes.
I must say we're very pleased that you are available again. Now the question I want to ask you is specifically about the technology committee. SABC has recently lost Shiroga Rapeti, and I have formed the impression that there's something wrong, notwithstanding the fact that specific monies have been paid over to SABC for technological purposes. Can you give me an idea of A, whether something has indeed gone wrong, and B, what it is?
My understanding is that, or the committee as a whole, my understanding is that there is an internal audit investigation currently underway into over a long period of time, over a couple of years, and that the findings of that audit is not yet available. It's my understanding is quite recently, I'm quiet since I've been here. So I can't really say, I don't know what the concerns are there, other than it relates to issues of governance. It's an enormously complex area. It's extremely under-resourced. We have red flagged this issue several times on board, to the board as a subcommittee. We simply don't have the capacity to deliver on the project that we know we have to deliver on in order to keep the public broadcaster basically on air, you know. So I think it's a very, very serious challenge. We have to look at ways of attracting people and indeed seconding people if necessary from the private sector and even potentially overseas. I mean, we've looked at a number of strategies around this because it really is a mission critical area that we're in really dire straits around. So there are heavy issues of governance, there are issues of capacity, and I mention them because basically the division is running on such low resources that it lends itself to governance oversight. I'm not saying, I don't know if there's been other stuff, but certainly And it's so much easier to make mistakes when people are running on such limited resources. I think there's a bigger challenge there, and I have raised it, and it's something that we have intended to implement. Again, my understanding is that the person hasn't been appointed, but what we had intended to do, in fact, while Mr. Petty was still there, was to make to get the chief technology officer onto the board in a permanent to change permanently. Obviously, in law, that's not possible at the moment. But all major communications companies of any kind have their chief technology officers now as part of the executive, so that we can have that constant input into decision making at the board level, and detailed input at the board level. And that certainly would allow us to address some of these issues on an ongoing basis, not in a sort of narrow, just technology way, because obviously the technology issues permeate the whole organization. So there are some strategies underway, and again, the idea was that that would be an international headhunt, that if we couldn't find anybody locally, that we would absolutely have to get the best person in to drive that process if we're going to meet the demands that we've made as a country to 2010, to meet an objective for 2010.
You've made the point, Madam. Thank you very much for the answer. Let me take Honourable Suzanne Foss for you.
Yes. Hi, Alison. Suzanne.
Hi.
Following on from your response to Dean, just a quick question. Listening to you, are alarm bells ringing in terms of the technological and the obligations, the 2010 obligations? So just a quick one, and I've got a couple of questions. The first one is, are we hearing that alarm bells are ringing and that something is done very quickly? Secondly, broad question, what has gone wrong in your mind and what's gone right in your last term of office? We've had the blacklisting report, the PSL slander and chaos with now dealing with the SAMF withdrawal, SABC withdrawal from SAMF. Can you just give us some idea of in your mind, broadly, as a board member, what's gone right and what's gone wrong? Thanks.
Yes, I mean, just very quickly on the first part of your question, I mean, I think there are alarm bells, and I think if you look at countries that have had to prepare anything of this scale, these alarm bells go off, and it's about responding to them. I think, you know, we've had engagements with Germany around their preparations for this. They never thought they would get ready on time. You know, the alarm bells are there, and we've got an enormous challenge. If we deal with them immediately, and we are dealing with them, if we get them, you know, addressed sooner rather than later, well, we have to. And so they can be addressed. There are alarm bells, but I think they're still addressable in the time that we've got. So we've got enormous issues. The outside of Iran, that kind of thing. You know, getting those in Europe was a challenge. Getting that number of outside broadcasting bands to the country is an enormous challenge. We started buying in digital bands, of course, because we've got these high definition obligations. But this really is an enormous challenge for us. So it's alarm bells, but I think, you know, they are being addressed. They need to continue to be vigilantly addressed. In terms of your broader questions, in terms of the last poll, I think there's been a number of positive things around the rights and content that we have won. I mean, I think the issue of the PSL is obviously an important one because sports rights are so passionate, such a passionate issue for people. But there are a number of areas in which there's been enormous content success that you obviously don't get the same kind of. So we've had, you know, educational awards, we've had a number of drama awards, etc. But the other sort of thing, we've managed to secure some very good international programming, and be able to secure an incredible rate sports rights around the Olympics, around various other things. But because they are done constantly and we just secure them, you obviously don't get the same focus on the negative aspects. I mean, I think the CSL issue is a very critical one. It's much broader than just this issue. It really takes us back to the issue of anti-cycling legislation, of ensuring that sports and national interest is seen on free television, and of course ensuring and where you have a very dominant public, you know, the broadcaster is a public broadcaster, that, you know, that the broadcaster doesn't have those rights, and that's the kind of use it or lose it kind of right. But really, I think a sort of more thorough review of that needs to be, and it's been done globally, because the competitive environment requires that now that you're dealing with, you know, no longer, you know, amateur sports, but professional sports and a competitive broadcasting environment. These are two very big international industries now that have to reach agreements on this. So I think it's a much bigger issue. As I said, I think there are successes that have been there that have gone seen. I think there have been, I think from the tactical point of view, where we've gone wrong is perhaps being more defensive about the decision making than engaging. I would personally like to see the SABC more open to public debate, to criticism of it. And I mean, it's very interesting having been in the UK for a while and having had a chance to observe the BBC in action, and I know we always go back to it, and it's a very different environment. But it's under siege in terms of its integrity following the Hansen report and the issues around the Iraq war and the misinformation there. And that is really at the heart of the public broadcaster, is the news and current affairs programming. Obviously, there's other very important aspects, but that's the integrity of the public broadcaster really rests there. And I think, you know, one can see that the kind of news is not, you know, the sort of sensational kind of news that you have. The public broadcast is obviously more cautious about how it covers the news, but it has to be more than, you know, an information service. It has to have investigative reporting, and it does that very well, very often outside of the news format and the current platform format. And I think we need to engage more publicly on where we've gone wrong, and apologize for it. I mean, I think there's a lot to be learned in other public broadcasters' responses to areas where they've been identified, and also just to be responsive. I mean, perhaps even where you don't have an area to accuse of it, lay it open, lay it there, so that it can be engaged with by the public. So I think because of the criticism that there has been of various decisions, we have tended to be more defensive than we would have, that they would have benefited us. I think if we engage more actively with the public and explain some certain things, I think others are errors, and I think it would have been better for us simply to say, we've erred here, this is how we'll do it, and this is what we're trying to do to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Thank you, thank you. We're going to take Mr. Peterson, Randy, and after that we'll take Mr. Kumar, no?
Yelton, hi. It's a pretty unity in Cape Town, nice spring weather, hardly any wind. But you want to be horrible if you go, right? Maybe next time I'll try and arrange the same weather when you're back here with the rest of the board. I guess my question will have multiple kind of responses to technology and funding. And my eight-old question, some are related to 2010 but also not related. And the question, how do you use the technology and make that kind of application to Centech and whoever to ensure that we also increase the size of the footprint, because we can't have 20K on the current footprint for this million outside that, and we love to follow and see what is happening on the soccer fields in South Africa. So how would you use your experience in technology to ensure at the shortest possible time, not wait for 20K, but the shortest possible time that the technology are rolled out for more people to access the public broadcaster. Thank you.
I'm not going to speak from a technology point of view, because I'm actually not a technology policy person, but just from a kind of more policy side of the technology. Obviously, you know, communications in South Africa is extraordinarily expensive. The alternatives that would allow multiple channel viewing in the country are all going to cost. They all cost something. DTT offers some really affordable options, but it's, you know, there are also limitations in terms of interactivity and that kind of thing, your backhaul. So in terms of 2010, obviously, you know, there might be some DTT available in terms of main centres and that kind of thing, but we're certainly not, it's not going to be available for the whole population. Which is a shame because, in fact, you know, if we, in terms of our intentions to start with this, must be nearly, you know, 18 years, the country would be trying to get this up, and it could have been possible. But it's not going to be. It offers enormous options, and in terms of exploring ways in which that could be extended to people by subsidizing the set-top box, by possibly making it a less affordable box, but then you lose some of the benefits if you do conditional access and that kind of thing. There certainly is a justification, and there's examples from other parts of the world where essentially, you know, getting out that kind of service for e-services, for educational services, etc., in addition to your broadcasting, just warrants that kind of expenditure. So it is in the realm of affordability. Obviously, just in terms of the single channel, or the few channels that we have, not a wide range of channels, there probably is more that can be done in terms of satellite links to fill in some of those gaps, people have been doing anyway with, DSTV kind of services that they'll provide. So you could get, downlinks in places where people might be able to get more effective kind of community viewing and that sort of thing. But these are obviously not optimal. The problem is reaching that last, 10, 9, 8, it gets increasingly expensive. And that money has to come from somewhere. If it is made a priority that every single home in the country should be able to access these services, then that's where the money will go. But if it's actually more, we've got it to your right, so you've got it in this or something else, it doesn't. So it's the same old problem, I think, that we've had for it.
just briefly, I think it's important to get into costing that exercise. I'm not suggesting you're taking the costing now.
Yes.
So that it doesn't become just a normal story that it's expensive and so on. Well, we don't know as a country how much that will cost us more or less.
I think that information is very available. In terms of our trying to extend services that we have over the last few years, we obviously had to get those costings, and we have paid for that from Centec. And so those costings are very available.
Do you know more or less what the board costing is?
I'm afraid I don't. I mean, we've had them on a region by region basis, but they could be easily extrapolated.
All right. We'll take Mr. Kumano.
Yes, Kenwad, Mr. Kumala, yes. I just want to check with you, amidst the problems of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, what should be the priority areas for the new board in relation to the challenges that the SABC is facing, the weaknesses within the internal and external system? That's the first point. But secondly, for an oversight role of the Portfolio Committee, what do you think is that we should do that we might not be doing to the extent that the corporation is in this particular type of situation? Or what are the areas that you think could improve in terms of oversight that could then keep on the corporation in a very good, stable condition? Thanks.
Right. Obviously,
there are
whole range of areas that we could focus our attention on, but perhaps just to highlight some in the time we have available. I think the great challenge that the public broadcaster faces, that the FABC faces, the Commission of Public Broadcasting Services, is around human capital. I think in every single area that we look at, whether it is technology, as I've mentioned, or whether it is news, if you speak to the head of news, he will tell you that he simply cannot attract specialist economist reporters to decent business reporting. I think also we have not adequately developed the ethos in the organisation or the culture of the organisation that necessarily makes it the place of first preference for people who are in the industry. And in fact, as you are aware, we have lost considerable numbers of people and from the SABC listing with enormous vacancies throughout the organization. So I think our real challenge is around human capital. We have to respond to that in several ways. We have to build it because some of it simply doesn't exist. We are short of it in this country, particularly in the technology area, so we have to find ways of building it, and we've certainly done that through scholarship programs and things, but these are things that will take time for people to pull it through. But certainly those have been underway. They've been underway for a couple of years. We've had very interesting training programs in India on IT. We've got scholarships too. So that's one area there that we need to grow talent. We need to grow across the organization in the areas of production. I mean, our core activity is content. We need to grow it there. And we certainly need to grow it in the areas of journalism in terms of our shortfall. I think the other area, of course, is retention, is that we have to find innovative ways of transforming the organization while retaining critical skills that we need. And although it seems like we've been at it for a long time, it's very, in these kinds of terms, building human capital terms, it's a very short period of time that we've been doing this. And we have to find ways of retaining people and getting new people in. So I would say that the human capital area is the biggest challenge, and it manifests in the different main segments of the organization. We, for example, have a desperate need for experienced commissioning editors. As a result, we have commissioning problems. We have stuff that's commissioned that, then has to be withdrawn and hasn't been legally clarified, etc. Or we have, commissioning editors who are inexperienced and, send the material that doesn't have to be, or that kind of thing. Believe it or not, correct. So I think, in every single area, if you go to the news area, clearly the news editor himself has acknowledged it, but we've also come under enormous criticism there in terms of the lack of experience and the loss of people in significant numbers of senior journalists and managers to manage that area. And as I said, that for me, those areas are actually, at the heart of public broadcasting, the democracy of the country. If those are impacted by the absence of skill and experience, the whole integrity of public broadcasting is at risk.
Thank you. There was a question about areas of oversight where you think are you done with the question?
Sorry, which was the question on? On oversight?
The question was our
function is oversight.
No, the question was. What is it that we should do or that we can do to assist the SABC in terms of oversight to then be able to avoid the type of challenges and problems that they have been having? They have this committee, our committee, the full committee.
Sorry, I didn't get that. Well, I mean, I think that one would. I would like to see greater interaction with the public. I would like to see greater interaction with both the regulator and the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee. Perhaps not just on oversight in terms of accounting for things that we clearly have to account for, like finances or compliance with our mandate, but some sort of engagement around the issues. Around the issues of public broadcasting, and even some discussion towards some kind of compact about what we, as the various public institutions, actually see as our aims and our goals. So not anything that's legally, obviously not the legal care of, but some space, some forum to flag the issues that are experienced on the coalface, to make those of you accountable aware of the challenges we face. I think that would enhance the ability of the portfolio for this oversight function.
Thank you very much. We have Ms. Lunga Yengeli. You want me to do another one?
Thank you, Sam. Ms. Yengeli.
Hello.
Hi. If we were to evaluate the performance of the board how would you rate yourself?
Sorry, I'm really sorry, this line is very bad. Can I just ask you to start again?
If you were to evaluate the performance of the board, how would you rate yourself? Would you say that you have successfully carried the mandate that you have put on your shoulders? That's the question.
I would say that our performance has been mixed. I would say that there are areas in which we have worked hard and reaped the rewards of that. And there are areas where we have erred. And as I said, my concern is that we may not have acknowledged that, or maybe the feeling from other members is that there is an error. But I personally feel that our performance has been mixed, and part of my making myself available again for the board, being nominated for the board, try and correct that legacy in a few.
Are you still on the line?
Yeah, we.
Are you there still?
I am.
Okay, I'm afraid that we might lose you if we don't try and wrap up now. Is there anything else you wanted to say because we were trying to lose you? Are you just continuing with anything? But I'm going to give you, after this response of the JGL, a moment just to say you're closing the mouth, but just before that, why don't you continue answering those questions? Maybe I'll be here. You refer to the chief technology officers who are full-time functionaries of institutions. Is that a proposal that you're making for the SABC board? If there's a proposal, how do you want us to operate those ones, and what are the implications? I'm just raising those because you've raised those matters.
Yes.
And you've raised the two matters of problems, for instance, issues of governance. That is related to that portfolio that you're chairing and capacity.
Yes.
So just give us more light to that, and basically after that, we'll try to wrap up.
Sorry, can you just repeat the first part of your question? I'm really sorry this line's not working.
No, the first part relates to the chief technology officer.
Yes, yes.
That you suggested that incumbent, you must be full-time.
Yes.
In an institution, for instance, like the SABC, because in other similar institutions, that's what they do.
Yes.
I'm just trying to check the implications of that. And what are you proposing we should do to make that happen?
Yes.
And the other question relates to capacity and matters of the governance matters, as I suppose corporate governance matters that are problematic in the portfolio that we share, the technology division.
Yes.
Can you just give us more light onto that? Maybe not if you can take a moment to do that and then we'll come back to it.
Right. The issue of the chief technology officer sitting on the board is something that, in terms of the current rules, the understanding, we could invite that such a person to sit in on board, at the board at the moment. What I would propose, and what I have seen work effectively in other organisations, is that the chief technology officer be included in the law as one of the executive members of the board. So that it's not a matter of discussion. It seems to me that, if you look at a very interesting article from the Harvard Review, which I was delighted to see, the Portfolio Committee is pretty interested on, how essential it is in a modern knowledge organization. It would seem to me that it shouldn't be something that has to come up for debate and to be concerned about what influences are being brought to bear, and if we're actually a content organization, the decisions are being made in the technology grant, they need to be integrated into the decision making of the board. The second aspect around the compliance issues really within the technology division, as I said, there are a number, as you have known from the stuff that's been in the press around the legal department, there's been very, very extensive internal auditing work done. Which I would just reflect positively on the organisation, even if the outcomes are negative, is that there is a rigorous attempt to strengthen the governance systems, the delegation systems within the organization, which, again, although it seems like it's been added a long while, are really new, were very poor when they were originally taken. So that it seems that they require a lot of work.
I think I've got a gist of your answer. Before the chief technology officer on my left, Kata, let me give you a minute just to say your goodbye. But let me tell you what the process are. What process we are engaging now. We've had 143 nominations, which are just up to 37, just for your information. Two were through. We're interviewing 35 people. You are the 34th person that we interview today. We are going to interview the last one. And on Friday, we are going to start deliberations, hopefully, by next Tuesday. If we can't finish on Friday, we'll conclude this lesson. So this is the process. And I can only wish you good luck. But just before we do that, anything from you?
No, I would just like to thank you very much for the time and for putting up with this dreadful line to speak to me. Thank you very much indeed.
You're most welcome. I haven't forgotten about your request, eh? Are you still there? Go.
Hello?
Oh, no, I was just saying that I haven't forgotten about the request you put through to my office.
Oh, thank you. I look forward to that.
No, good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your... When are you coming back, by the way?
I'm actually coming back on Monday.
This time Monday?
Yes.
Forever?
Ever.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No problem.
Now you know what the challenge is here.
My dog's jumping. I'm going to just
on this technology, on how we can utilize in South Africa to improve the healthcare system. I spent about 3 years in the medical research council researching this technology. I think that money that they gained in terms of the technology, which is really the broadcasting technology now, but also, as you know, that telemedicine is a convention for both telecommunications broadcasting, IT or internet. It's a kind of technology that I feel can utilize very strongly for our public broadcasters, especially now that we have this challenge of how do we move into the digital age, how can the BBC harness this technology in the delivery of its mandate, how can it harness the convention of video data as well as voice in establishing those programs for television and for radio, for entertainment, for education, as well as for information. I believe that I would have a lot of things added to the board in terms of ensuring that what the August body here, the protocol of communication is debated over a long time, as we remember when participated in that came out as the final product of the Electronic Communication Act, how the broadcasting corporation can utilize that convention of the Electronic Communication Act in fulfilling its mandate. The research that I've done and also the training that one has received, and also on the part of the content that one has been able to roll out in various applications, both of healthcare services but also as well as education. The time I spent at the Universal Service Agency, I think, added a lot to my knowledge, expertise, and experience in terms of the universal access to this kind of information and communication technology. Yes, I agree that South Africa is quite advanced in the technology. The SABC has got quite advanced technology that it uses, but the access to that technology and services, I think, is a different issue. So that experience that they gained in the Universal Service Agency, when we were rolling out information and communication technology to underserved areas, I think will help me make a bigger input to the SABC to ensure that it improves its access to the underserved areas of the country. I'm sure when we are sitting in various areas and townships and suburbs, we sometimes appreciate and end up debating the academics of the SABC and forget that actually out there in the rural areas and underserved areas, there are people who can hardly access them. You see them struggling with SABC 1 or SABC 2 and keep on talking and talking and talking. I'm talking from experience because I was there and we were rolling out these messages. In some areas, it became so impossible to put up the people access the SABC that we ended up having such an issue just in community access points, just so the people around those areas would be able to come and watch their favorite programs for information, education, and entertainment. I think the experience and expertise that one gained during those years that we were not working with the agents will go a long way in ensuring that the SABC to make sure that whatever programs they have related to by the people in all parts of South Africa will be keeping and lastly then I think as a profession as a medical doctor you know that it is our right of passage to provide services include the most like a practical which you call that case. I think those technical things that one has developed through the practical that we had to take that we use our regiment of ability and our judgment to the best of my patients, and that in whatever house that one comes in, I would only enter for the good of the patients and not for any other thing. We do no, first of all, we do no harm. And the better, I think, that sort of inculcated in each to always be looking out towards the positions that we present to the patients. start again, depending upon the values of transparency, the values of policy, and the values of doing no harm first, and profit the values of the good, doing whatever is good for the public. And I think, you know, in fact, also it says that whatever comes to knowledge in the practice of my profession that is not to be spread abroad, I will keep secret and will never reveal.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Is that the correct name?
The Hippocratic, yeah, that is the
I will not ask him the question about organ transplant for laughing. I think as a doctor, I can't do that. Dr. Luba, I think all of us know you, first of all, and you know what you're capable of. And what personal disappointment when you resign to live. You start out to pursue your first love, as you put it, and that was medicine. Now, I will be failing and lying to myself if I don't ask that question to you. Coming to SABC, what happens to that first? I won't then be a contradictor. My concern is, again, that you might leave in the middle of a process if you should be on the last 12. With SABC, I think, particularly at the time that they find themselves, can ill afford to lose people in the middle of a term or that sort. So the concern is, have you sorted out that? And I respect and I want you to be available to all of that. By combining with the public broadcast. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for that question. Actually, when I left the Yusasa to come to the National Park, it was also in the current of my interest in the information communication technology. It was not the departing, I mean, dropping the information communication technology, but it was more of a concern of if we have this information. When you get a tool that's out there not being used by anyone, then that tool that is conditioned to the public becomes limited. You need to run the content and applications of that tool. And the content and applications I felt that I was more qualified to do to run for that tool in addition to the social economic resources. Once the content and applications of healthcare, actually right now I'm using it more for education. Than anything else, we are now participating in all our donors and through the information and information infrastructure so that we can try and promote a healthy living style among our people. You know, if you want to join, you really have to live a healthy lifestyle. You have to eat your vegetables and make sure that you keep your blood clean and strong. And also, you have to avoid a high risk behavior so that you can keep a safe life. You can only do that by education as well as to have that sort of safeguard. But also on the other side,
a point of order on that one. I want Mr. Kumar not to use me that group when you're not talking about a healthy lifestyle.
I'm a professional on high risk
and this, we need a tool to educate, especially here in South Africa with all the evidence of diseases that we have. I feel that the SABC will be one of those tools that can be used effectively. And once the major contribution to make sure that we use the SABC effectively in terms of promoting healthy lifestyle in South Africa. You know, a healthy nation is a healthy nation. And to avoid people getting into the hospital. But also on the side of the hospital itself, the blood transfusion itself is a very narrow window of therapeutics. It can easily cause more harm than good if you don't know how to utilize it properly. And we're setting up now a network that we're using. We're working with various other stakeholders to make sure that we educate our nurses and our doctors in terms of the appropriate use of blood and blood products. And in the process of doing that, I believe that then we are actually increasing the level of care in the hospital because the blood supply is really the lifeline of any healthcare system. So if we're not abandoning say that the presentation of the utilization of information communication technology to render various other services, and those other sources might have include education and health care.
Thank you very much.
Dr. we hear that it's going to be virtually impossible for the footprint of the public broadcaster to reach all of our citizens as it should. And indeed, as is their right. Now, you have experience with the Universal Service Agency. And so this is really a double-edged question. In terms of your continuing work in terms of ICT outreach, telemedicine specifically now with the National Broadcast Union Service, how would you see, with the knowledge you had of the USA, do you think it's possible for us to and for the public broadcaster or from some mechanism for throughout the country have satellite dishes in all communities that currently can't be accessed. So each community centre can receive broadcasting everywhere in terms of health, in terms of education, entertainment, and so on and so forth. Did you ever look at that at the Universal Service Agency? Because really, it looks to the role of the public broadcaster in terms of the well-being of the citizens and all the roles that's mandated to the public broadcaster. Did you ever give us any thought? And should you be on the board? Do you think that that's something that you would pursue?
Thank you very much. Yes, we have given
it
as far as I agree with you, the challenge to make sure that the signal for the public broadcasting issue is taken differently. And we had done some, we did to commission some research in terms of what that research was really to evaluate the successes and the failures in terms of the tank itself, the original one, the promotion of the universal access. I think that this the act that we now have, the public communication act, it put us in a better position to reach out. Maybe it will remain an issue for a while where we want to be and very difficult to get there. But we're going to get very close to it if we are going to be able to utilize the digital technologies that are coming up now. And bringing these digital technologies, for instance, we know that through the cell phone companies now, the reach of the cell phone companies are now bigger than our government. So that rather than really to depend on the satellite itself to reach out to all the corners of the world, we can look at the other technologies that are available through the cell phone companies and the wireless connectivity, using the base stations that are being put into different places. Now you can begin referring to what TV on your cell phone. If the LCC can keep up with that challenge, there is a picture of this kind of programs and information, we will be able for the people in their homes not to rely on the signal that are running now, most of them being analog, but to rely on the digital signal. So that through the cell phone, you can then project what is on the cell phone screen here, can then be projected. In fact, I was surprised the other day, my TV broke down and we were not well. They went in to my son, they said, my son just came in and took the computer and put it where the TV was and connected the box to the computer, and there we were watching the TV on the computer, of course, using the box that we have. So yes, yes, it is possible to make sure that whatever infrastructure that you need, the cell phone is the one, very good with the broadband, which is not different channel on the digital platform, you are able to describe each and every thing what's happening on that screen. So in the giving the digital services to web TV. And it was a part of the operation that did that in the United States for the shop.
Thank you very much. Let's talk a little bit the international telecommunication in India has put quite a number of universal same publication. I think there are about 10 or 12, but I'm just going to talk about three of them. One is the digital divide. But as some of the departure today, there's a general point. Do you think that we are coming in any era to raising that digital divide, whether between rich or poor, black and white, or rural and urban and stuff like that, in terms of the second thing is the issue that relates to universal access. And this, I would take it in two ways, in terms of television. The SABC one, 87% penetration. SABC 2, 89. SABC 1 is 91. SABC 2, 87, and SABC 3 is 89. And ETV is 88, 89. So they keep on moving and increasing depending on the technology that they are able to put in. Now that then leaves that the entire country one of about 5 to 6 million people who are not covered all three of them, including the Honorable Peter Sesteria, which normally raises us. Do you honestly believe that we would reach 100% universal coverage and universal service in terms of access, in terms of access? And truly, like in relation to having worked in USA as a CEO, checking the landscape, the digital divide, and all the type of things, do you think that we'll ever arrive there? If we do, would that be in terms of moving from analog system to a digitalization, or dual illumination as we're going to proceed to the 2010, or satellite technology? In the entire continent, most of them, they use satellite. It's out here in South Africa that we've got a lot of platforms that we can use. So that's the second question. And the third, which is the last question for the chairman, is that we started an interview with Alison Gilbert now in terms of technological development, in terms of the technology. That do you think that the SABC, is it properly located to have public platforms within the center, or should it rather explore other possibilities as in terms of ECA now in relation to satellite technology, in relation to the CDMA technology, and in relation to even the very one that is used by the three mobile operators by WBS, it's also used by Vodafone and Telecom, is a high-speed downlink packet access, HLDPA. So I'm just saying there are a lot of things that are coming. So I just want to hear your answers around this. Thanks.
Thank you very much. In terms of bridging the digital divide and the achievements that we have had in South Africa, I think they have, yes, we have had achievements in terms of bridging the digital divide in a sense that if you think about it, the fact that people in the rural areas can now access the world, I think we've done very well in terms of the outreach now of our similar companies, I think I don't have the figure, but I think the last time we checked, running close to 90% of the country having a good feed for voice. I believe then that is a good start in the business. But once we have voice, then we need to see what technologies we need to have video and data added to that. And most of the time, it's the substitute. And the bandwidth that you run on voice is known as the lower bandwidth that you get the into that bandwidth, you come into that platform, you're going to need a broader bandwidth. So the digital divide, yes, we are bridging it step by step, but we are not yet there. Now, the question of how, I think my next answer will cover both your second and the third question, specifically around SABC. Now that we have such a large footprint over the country for voice, how can the SABC then utilize that infrastructure in order to make sure that where you were getting CNN, if I stand for that, cable network news. And what they were doing, they were using the phone line, but if you have a phone, they were using that phone line to dish the CNN. And we didn't need any office as long as we had the phone line. But of course, that's the signal that now updated from there. So they will be areas which when well covered by the cable network, I think it would be appropriate to use your redundant cable network to deliver your television program. But difficulty that in the remote and distant areas, it's very hard to use the cable network. So I think what you're saying is that you have to look at the convention of all of these areas. Other areas, cable network would just be the way to deliver your program effectively. Actually, if you think about it, with all the cluster homes that we are now building and the affordable homes and the mixture of them, both the affordable and the mixture of the low and high income homes, all being together, all you do is just plant one fiber there. And everybody has got the cable network cities, whatever it is, the digital, not satellite, but digital TV in their room. So it can be very easy to give you that you have just one cable to cover everybody. But then when you get out to the remote areas and the mountains and the valleys and the regions and everybody is, then probably then you use a base station to improve the other things that you can run a cable connection at the home. So it can be a combination of all of this. You will need a good thing that has an idea in the electronic communication system. And then you see the health communication. And they have to take Centec and other stakeholders as their partners.
Well, no, thank you, Dr. Blum. Dr. Kumar is one of the proponents of exploring the transmission of power.
Yes,
we're interested in it. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something that we need to look into.
Yeah.
And it's something that...
This year has not done my problem.
Yeah.
Did someone
who wants
to give us a presentation on
the testing
that
would be
interested?
No, I
don't. Okay, well, for that one, I'll just bring it to the attention of the public
yeah.
So that you need to hear that aspect. Let me take this mask and then I think I'll go to the Ukrainian. And you'll be the last one. Yeah, I'll just finish
the question. Dr. Sam, I'm just having trouble finding how this applies to the FNDCNS board. Board discussion about technology. I mean, you're not to be seen as by sitting on the board. You said a minute ago it would be great if SABC had programs on healthy lifestyles, so that's a bloody cure, but you're not a board member that doesn't decide on programming. You're not suggesting, I think, that instead of LipTuck or ER, there should be video shown of operations for young children. That's not what you're saying either. And surely where your interests coincide with what the FNDC is about to do is in the rollout of digital broadcast technology. I mean, it's not about satellite dishes. The whole point about digital terrestrial is that it can also deliver to your computer data. You have your internet access also at broadband, therefore it's not, you don't get just a TV signal. But you could also do your internet stuff there. And this universal service and telemedicine, as I understand it, are your concerns and your passion, and I have great respect for that. The serious question becomes, how do you get enough TV sets enabled to do the internet access or video access in the right places? Because we still have only about 7 million TV sets in the country. I'm sure the number will climb as we digitize and set up boxes or subsidize or not, whatever. But so the trick surely is then to get monitors of some description, TVs or monitors of some description, into the right community center, whereas until now you have to fork out a lot of money for a little reset at the community center, isn't it? So surely the whole point is that there will then be digital terrestrial technology provided you have a TV or a monitor, and that your young surgeons or your nurse working all alone in a rural area having to look after patients all on her own can then talk to a doctor somewhere in Pretoria, Waterloo. Surely that's what it's about. And then you could then, to me then the question is, I'm not sure,
split that in, you need an SABC board position for that. The people at SABC, Allison and company, have got to sort out this design fashion thing. We'll see and check the board. Once you have the technology in place for the applications that interest you, surely that comes in from another M4M or I mean, are you suggesting that SABC should add another quiver to it? Another arrow to its arsenal in the form of, surely not saying they should be rolling out telemedicine. And then they will go on doing ER and heaven knows what lip cut. Am I right in thinking that the step dark thing goes out on the SABC? But am I not right?
Am I wrong? Can I just declare something before you answer?
Yes.
You already presupposed that the legal has been prepared in the next board.
Yeah, well, it is my purpose.
Sure, to sort out other things. Yeah. What a technological understanding that is displayed by Dr. Blue, you might just be the replacement.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just raising this one so that there is no confusion.
Okay. Okay. That's a lot of room.
No, I think what I feel I can put it to the board is that the experience that I have in terms of the technology, the digital, the use of digital technology. Now, I was not a member of the board before. I've never been in the SABC, so I can't have experience in the use of the digital technology for broadcasting of the SABC. But I do have experience in the use of this technology for these other content and applications. I agree with you. With another member, but that it is not, I'm not going to the board to run applications and I look at the mandate of the SABC. This is the kind of a mandate instruction where one can really extend in terms of take the technology, the way use my experience of what I've had of my exposure, the 8 years I was in America and the training that I've done over there, and the time I've been spending in decades of Africa, in various other fields, both in terms of the health, in terms of the teaching, in terms of the other segments of take the technology. Whether from the board standpoint can give you a strategic outline in terms of how to go about to utilize the technology. Also, I mean that the technology to utilize not just to deliver the program but also use the technology to make funds, generate revenue. I think I can recommend that how we can use the technology to generate revenue for yourself as an agency in order to get to deliver the on the mandate that you have.
Well, why not just start an internet service provider? I mean, if a speaker can also be an ISP and offer the internet service, that's very
interesting.
Technology is getting enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that just this thing now.
The lack of part of the SABC funding comes from the advertisers. Think about 8% of it, and 17% comes from licensing, and 6% comes from the state. And that is the perhaps the reason why you find that the public broadcaster finds it difficult to perform its mandate because it's not independent in terms of funds. What do you think we should do or could be done to rectify that situation?
Thank you.
It's very much a very difficult question, and nobody told me it was not a difficult question. But I think looking at the mandate, maybe the professor has in providing this program, television and radio program, they will be funded. I think they mentioned a number of things like funded by advertisements, funded by subscription, funded by sponsorship and other means of licenses and other means of funding. I think that as far as the licensee is going to be very difficult to manipulate or to expand or develop control as far as the licensee is as today. But I think as the Honorable Jim Smart has indicated, why can't the licensee then become an ISP? Of course, we're not saying that they must either be this or that, but it means then that they see the room in terms of your subscription. What kind of subscription are you talking about? At home, where I am right now, really, is it possible that this interactive TV that I can have plus my remote becomes almost like my keyboard? I can receive my emails through the remote and then send my emails through the remote, sitting down on my couch with my emails well, I won't go there, but receiving all the data, video, whatever information that I have, as well as for entertainment. In other words, is there room? I think we would have to, from a strategic standpoint, and see whether is there room that you can develop, because it's just like a large footprint, a large footprint, and look at any kind of thing. When all the technology has been sorted out, is it possible that the rest can have that advantage? Can have a less advantage as the DGC having this routine to build some kind of subscription to provide other services and to generate more revenues as well from that. I think as far as sponsorship, I'm sure they're doing their best. Maybe we can look at more room to where the sponsor. But there's another element that I was thinking about as when I was coming here, that when I was thinking about the accounting department, having broadcasters managed to raise their funds, they raise their funds mostly through foundation, they will come for a foundation. Now that foundation must be done, then of course coordinate all the public radio institutions all across the country and of course whatever funding they get, but they also coordinate the fundraising telephone that they call them, whereby they can through the telephone actually go out to the public, ask the public to become member of the public TV publishing. By offering that every year you're going to donate so much, if you do that, it's going to be successful. And also soliciting various grants, but also asking various corporations, for foundation, I think they're very good in that, that these can sponsor these programs, can sponsor that program. We're going to be running this program here, a generation, whatever it is, which is aimed at educating and informing and entertaining in this or that manner. Can you as a corporation sponsor these or sponsor that program, or can you just donate to the public broadcasting foundation? So the issue of subscription, appealing for more donations, appealing for more grants, getting more organized as a foundation and finding ways. The difference of getting a corporation to support a foundation, a public broadcasting foundation, as opposed to supporting a commercial during the news cycle, is that when it comes, it is independent to the broadcaster. Because when the money gets to the foundation, it is in support of the public broadcast for the public. And then it's up to the board and the management to how they utilize the funds for public goods, as opposed to a commercial that will go for that news cycle and that will pay that news cycle for the commercial.
Mr. Blue, thank you very much. You know, you really have a very special project. I watched them a lot in the exhibition. So, I think we come to the end. Very good thing that you have great consistency of putting some television at the key point. For community to have access to something that I think Shane left me looking to try and explore. The SABC is looking into developing some fan parks together with the 50 said from committee, where at least you have community television during the same camp and food breakfast. So strategic points like hospitals, schools and areas where we can have television. I heard that in Germany, during the war, at the time when they had the Great War, they had a great concept for Chan, where they just used to put television in to come, just come and watch television and what happened on the other side. So, we might be proud of the CD. So, the concept is good to have strategic plans where there is good television and good stuff. I think those are issues of factors that we need to do. So, Dr. Blue, I need to give you just 1 minute to say your closing remarks from what I think you answer both your questions. And good luck. After you have left, immediately, we get into the process of appointing. So, you're fresh on their minds. So, that's your advantage. Any closing remarks?
No, thank you very much. My first remark is just to thank the committee for again providing me the opportunity and to assure you that no, I've never left information from the communities. Wherever I am, I'm always utilizing that information from the communities for the public community. I firmly believe that if one is successful in this nomination for the board of the SDGs, I'll be able to add value. One is no longer young now, but to be able to have a lighter a footprint in terms of ensuring that we all continue to serve the public, but in particular case, using the information and communication technology to the SAP. Thank you.
Thank you. I tried to close all the issues, not to think about that. But when I'm alone, I actually become excited. I had a new thing. I was in a laboratory once, a few years ago, many years ago. So, we go back to my wife and that's called strength. But this is the challenge. Members have done extremely well in terms of fairness and transparency, openness to all the candidates. Where you could get some structures where members starting to declare their preferences in the middle of the interview. Ms. Smart was clapping her hands several times, four times. In the close of the interview, so I already know some of the candidates without her telling us who they are. You see, and she made it stop right here right now about trying to reveal what she wants, you see, and to say, hey, my Lord, don't worry about that. Not yet. So I think it's quite exciting. I think one of the things that we must think about between now and Friday is just also to say that one of the principles that we must have to think about is for the sake of continuity, how many and who are all the current sitting boards we want to have. And that's very critical. So that's fine. I mean, that's critical that we do that. And secondly, that you see, once we have made up our mind, I think the G-Watt also got a very important sacrifice in the performance of the ball. You say, unfortunately, one of the things that reoccupies the mind of people are the negative things that you can do. So listen, she says, you have to be in the time who you are, receive a lot of awards, education, other international content. But they're not talking a lot about it. But when they are under siege, they become defensive. Rather than accepting and acknowledging that they made a mistake. I think it affects them. There's a fairness system that I've heard, and maybe it was because you are there, and he doesn't see later like he did to other Muslim Muslims, and being able to see them right in the eyes and say, now take me. This type of thing. So to me, that's a kind of thing. So I'm just saying that it will be wrong to write off the board as a total thing, alright? But also it should be wrong not to recognize some of the mistakes. That's my thing. So I'm just saying that's something that you must want to think about. And the other thing, obviously, the thing that you have to give the country is a very representative force in terms of gender, racial profile, or demographic profile. That's something that you would want people to consider as you come to the marriage that you want to do. And lastly, which is very difficult, it's difficult in many situations, the geographic spread. So that geographic spread, where possible, because we've got a limited number of people that are short listed, and those people are not taken into account. But yet I'm not saying that, you know, you might just want to look into that. It's not possible. So those are the issues that I'm putting in two leaders to think about. And I'm not sure if there are any comments, but I'm not going to insist that you give us a name, but I think you get it. Now.
You feel that?
Right. No, I feel like, yeah, but if some of you are ready to declare, you are not as far, we can obviously give you that.
I think I just invited you before 9 and let me just invite you first at the session. Yeah, I mean, I think there are four or five absolutely outstanding people. I mean, there's no question that we believe them. But then there are other categories. For example, we are in a very blessed position. We're in a very blessed situation where we have no fewer than a few people. Our question is going to be whether we'll have to choose. But I do want to say there are a few people to me that are of just such quality and they're so outstanding. And that's exactly the confidence restoring
appointment that the FHC needs. And I will come tell you which ones I think they are. And of course, naturally, they include many other people. I couldn't help myself. I gave them a clue. You know, they were outstanding. And then continuity, yes. I mean, we are confident, although we've said before, some are confident that you lost that only others should go back, but we are happy to review that and look at slightly more. Continuity is always. And then we actually have an embarrassment of choices. We have experience. So it's wonderful to go through an interview process where so much talent can have forward. And you said at the very start, you thanked the public and the nominator for giving us the time and material to work with. You're very talented.
Well, sir, thank you very much. You know, you could think and can give us a very big contribution. I'm just saying, politically.
Yeah.
But I think that she's the only one that works. I'm just saying, you must be broader than that. I'm just advising. But the political advice, I'm telling you.
Yes.
And about the regulators, so the 20 years.
Yes.
You know, I've got the same. I'll give them a little bit. I've got the same direction. You know, if we don't want a situation, we'll need somebody who's got some regulatory experience. But we don't want a regulator. We certainly work in
the
course. Yeah, sure. Because we do have a car. We can't have a court to there because I know the regulation to say now I'm the we have a car, they must be given the due regards. So the limitations, we've got good excellent candidates, but unfortunately we have to make choice. That's my thing. I'm not going to stop you. If you want to give to me, it's fine. But if you want to say the excellent candidates, like so, it's up to you. But I need them for
you.
No, no, I'm just saying, it's your discretion.
It depends on how to set you guys are set up. But let's leave it at that. Let's just tell you that we think there are at least five really actually outstanding people, and I've had trouble if they weren't there. Then there are regulators who are visiting people, and then it is actually very hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, well, thanks, Chair. I think we all share the view that we've been blessed. I don't think there's been all the years I've been here when we've had such an outstanding collection of people of gravity, the great integrity, and people who really could, in their own way, contribute to the board. So we have got an easy task. I don't have any reason not to contribute, which I have done. I mean, I've applied my mind on behalf of the IFC, of the people that to us are a nice mix of talent, and as you put it, there are requirements that we're obviously obliged to consider, which we've tried to do in terms of experience and the various experiences of their own that they can bring to the board. We've given you that list, there's more than 12, obviously, that we're very open, clearly, to negotiate, but having applied our minds, these are the ones that we think are the ones that, in their totality, could be put together as an excellent team. So we look forward to the negotiations, and I think we're very, very lucky in the amount of the caliber and the quality of the people that we have to do that with.
Thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to add further because further that you outlined the issue that control members in the course of your presentation, you might have covered that the issue of skills expertise and relevant experience. And I think for the rest of the person to the board, given the ECA and the challenge situation of the broadcasting corporation in the context of convergence. So you need quite a dynamic pool of people, but also in the challenge they're facing the corporation, you need some kind of authority, some respectable people to guide, you know, people with integrity, honesty, people will be able to be able to extend all type of to navigate the other kind of problems that might come, you know, to that. And then so that the issue of disability and gender representation is still quite key. Chairperson, I know that very often we neglect the point that relates to geographic spread. I fear to think that. It becomes a bit unfortunate because it's the real house sometimes we constitute this type of board, and I think this is informed by our own class positions. We constitute part of either the middle class from the lower to the upper middle class. So quite often, we tend to take people with quite high qualifications. Your LLB, your doctorate, your lawyers, your type of stuff. So that then says you might neglect the elements that are not necessarily there in terms of the middle class. So people with labor excellence, your youth, or your disability. So I think in the course of our discussion, we might be sensitive because it could also contribute to the fact that the corporation is still reflected as a middle class, upper middle class type of institution. Therefore, it is in the rural masses. So I'm saying in the course of our discussion, we must think seriously about facts because we find that 80% of our candidates are actually urban based and they might be from Durban, Cape Town, and Johannesburg. It's quite likely. If not 50% from Johannesburg as a hub. But all of us converge. And it's not a mistake, obviously, no matter how the society is constituted. So I think that those are elements that we do. And 10%, we would have liked to also put, but the fact that we are waiting for other candidates to come, it will be difficult as the ANC to then present any names from now, because these other three of them finished. So we prefer to go into our own study group, discuss further after what has happened today, and try to sort of educate everybody. And then we decide to submit a list while there's still other people who still have to be interviewed. Of course, some of them are quite good.
Some of them are quite good.
You really want them back just by seeing their name, having them before them, having applied. So I'm saying that's the approach of the agency. But I'm sure by Friday, when we meet to deliver, we could then maybe reach some consensus for the discussion. But the level we have been there to exchange this, but we don't have as an ANC. Chairperson, your proposal was that if it was possible that we could finish this process now and submit it to the relevant people like the speakers or whatever so that it could be done before we go for recess. But in any event, it can't. I wouldn't want us to fast track it for the sake of time so that there's proper discussion, you know, make sure that there are no conceptual issues that emerge because you're appointing a board who should be in charge for the entire country. So that's my contribution to it.
Thank you very much.
Just to add to that, I think one should say that even when we started to shortlist, it's people, for the sake of the time, or there's even good people, including those that self-nominated, and the only Sunday committee was self-nominated, and it's gone through the TV. You see, excellent people, so the oldest, just to add to what Ms. Scott was saying, better. I think this was the best in a long time of nominations. That's why I can even include those who are self-nominated. And we've got them all to this because they're self-nominated, so we should say thank you to those that have nominated those people. And if I added to what Mr. Kumar said, just kind of self-experience, when I was proposed by the then chief of the ANC, current Minister of Home Affairs, to sit on the budget committee, and I said, why would you look at me in the budget committee? What it very often does, you find accountants, and all of us, to really take the focus. And in somebody that is not necessarily from that mold, will bring in another perspective to it. Hence, I agree and concur with Mr. Kumalo. Very often we have a bunch of technocrats, if you could use that term, together. And lose out a vast majority of what should we do, what we should do, what we should not be doing. I mean, at the end of the day, we've done brilliantly well up till now. We should not rush to finish and give good quality time as we give given to the interviews. And if we can't finish on Friday, Chairperson, let's take a bite on for next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
No,
that's fine.
Okay.
Chairman,
we'll
bear with me in mind. Sometimes your people who now live in Carthage have an SRB background. You know, it's not as though.
It would be unfortunate for me to keep on saying I'm representing Northwest. One question at all. So the British about the disability to say nothing about us without us. Same thing with gender. I'm a proponent of gender rights, but it can't be me all the time representing the people that are concerned. But like, it can't come and represent us all the time. It doesn't make sense. So I take the point that you're saying, but I'm just saying it's true that there are a lot of people in SRB who could still be from there. That's why we've got the home base. And the constituency base. So those two distinctions. That we will consider them. I'm sure we will.
And you also look, I mean, we can think of it, but it's not ever wrong.
Not be confused by this acronym. It's a Kumalo creation.
I'm sure he knows by now.
SRB, he's the one who sold out Ruby to become the chair of the government. He said publicly that the spread has was an SRB, strong rural background.
I was unfortunate I've listened to quite a number of people. But those I listened to, the vast majority of them were excellent people. But I've actually listened to interviews where people, the sick, which are much higher quality than people with a number of doctoral masters. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that in particular. And so I think I know just about what I'm going to be talking about. The point I want to make, I just want to re-emphasize the fact that we really need to be serious about this, because we need serious people. And there's one thing that I did pick up, and there's a number of heavyweights, people with vast experience and leadership qualities that make wonderful contributions. And we, of course, we will consider it. But I also picked up a number of, over the years I came to see that there are people who's moving around to build up teams. And it's funny how quickly you can pick that up in the There are people that, they were there, now they need to be on this board, and they're also on that board, and they do this. And that's why, I mean, you know, if I was a candidate paper, well, this is a number of boards that you should be on, and this is a number of, well, the amount of workload that you could put on. And then we've seen life of the cars as well. I call them CV building people. And I just hope that we are able to appreciate properly with serious people that really want to make a proper contribution to what is very important. But apart from that, I'm quite sure that there's sufficient good quality candidates that we've met that all those parties will find some good middle ground eventually. There's a sufficient good quality candidates. I actually thought, they just explained this, and my problem once again was Friday, I was sitting at the private end of proposal. Petitions, well, the fact that we between 3 and 4 today, and I make a policy because I thought we're getting to starting, and I thought that would be an opportunity to talk about some names. But I could understand the point. I actually thought that we could get to a point today where we could exchange at least maybe there's 5 or 6 or 7 that we all agree on the part of them, and then look at who they are, and then look at these other ones. But of course, I could understand that Dean and I have time to focus on this.
I'm sure it's a movie.
No, we would choose Mr. Rally over Mr. Juden, but Mr. Juden was also, he was so charming because he's such a master in this particular field, governance. No, we
certainly don't. When you come to the regulators, what's your take?
Almost impossible to see.
But he was a single
student. Well, don't go where they're living. That is almost impossible to choose between them. That's just as if he wants someone to be more than one.
But Rumpa, he goes dirty, you've got...
That's one of the considerations. When you look at your three egg drink analysis, I don't want to see them just as egg drink analysis, but that is one of the considerations. But Tani made it very clear to us that he's not there for much longer. Tani is not on the MBA.
Mm.
And these people only go in the office in January. See, I mean,
that's also a sign.
And I think they both go to Italy and
Lumka. No, that's called good learning. The DMA that we consider to drop Lumka for Kari. Because she's not coming back.
It's a possibility.
So I'm not saying that you guys are in the whole discussion also looking at this, because then the CEO of the MDG.
Yeah. That's also a possibility. I mean, they're even embarrassed with this. But Lady Raja, we think, is wonderful. And Mr. Rally, you should add something that the board doesn't have now. And we're entering a new era. He might not have great that. But if you've been on Mr. Dutton, of course, you know, you look at that. And Peter Blumbaugh, who is now too.
I have a little bit of a change. And consideration of how and what to think about in a debate among the three. This is Bunto, Nadia, and Maybe. So those are some of the issues, but it's not a critical matter. What I would also want you to consider is that once you have grace on the board, okay, we need to give them the confidence and instill that confidence in society. Let them be the ones who prove us wrong. You see? But at least we should have done our best to say, here we give you a very strategic asset to run, you see, to direct, and obviously to have. So I'm just saying that these are going to test the challenges are enormous. And good luck. I was hoping that on Friday we give you a share back. And then Tuesday, of course, my first time coming. But then we just work around that so that if you were not done on Friday, if there is no absolute consensus in here at that time, maybe I get to meet on Tuesday. Just to see if we can't see it there. We can have the weekend and we'll be refreshed. And I was hoping to say that after this you can still do it with the share code, but I'm sure that just focus on the short term budget. But if you just take a trip, just to refresh of the
ICU, I
said something. Yeah, so the ICU was fine. But that's something that we discussed with the share code. The disadvantage here is that through certain technologies, the budget is still intact. Yeah, it's finished. And it's there. Members, we requested, myself and the chair, we put an invitation to participate in this morning program due from now. Just to talk about the process. You should. Just about to talk about the process and I think we will take time. We just have to talk about the time.
I've tried to get them to pre-record because it's
just excessive. Yeah, but let's do that. What I'm saying is that one is for to keep the integrity of the process intact and then the confidence of the public in the process. You know, we think if I don't like a candidate that you have proposed here, I shouldn't be the one who let the check in the town. But to say I don't agree, but not to...
But we don't have to discuss that.
Yeah, sure. I'm just suggesting that even if you disagree, you don't have to do the character assassination. That's some of the people are saying that they are don't want to come to the public in the town. And I'm just saying that you're not going to take you. I'm about to
just
to get
before you chair, I repeat that on Friday, I mean, I did explain that last time before I have to go. So, I mean, I'm just hoping that I'm not disadvantaged because I've been repeatedly saying that kind of midday is a cut off for me.
I think we only need an hour.
Okay. So, what time will we start on Friday?
After the bottom line, after 10, the latest 11 o'clock, we should be back. Because then, really, to put something, I think if we firstly say intention strategy, this is the only 1, 2, 3, 4, 9 people that we have. We've got how many we have at the moment? I think it's 7 that are on the board, that we interview on the board. How many of the 7 do we say? All 7, 2 of them, 1 of them, that's just the basis.
I'm sure that's the best basis.
If we say continuity should be part of the criteria that you use, surely I can't be wrong.
Yeah. I think there are a few more, but it can't be just coming in for the sake of it. When you manage a disaster, you start tricking. But I've already told you, we're putting...
Yeah, that's not the point. You see, I'll try to bring your attention back to this. Let's talk about exaggerated disaster. Not a disaster, but... there are some good things that came out of
M201.
On our floor in our building, we always like to be
Thank you.